Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we have a feast called the Most Holy Name of Mary. It's not a feast in the sense of a major celebration in the church, but it is a day to remember the power of her name because of her union with Christ. Listen to this commentary. Our salvation begins, that's you and me, our salvation begins when an archangel speaks the name of Mary. To be Christian is to carry on that annunciation unceasingly. St. Louis de Montfort wrote that the salvation of each individual is bound up with the Hail Mary. The prayer which bears the holy name of the Mother of God brought to a dry and barren world the fruit of life. It will cause the Word of God to take root in the soul and bring forth Jesus. The holy name of Mary bears such power because of the unique bond between mother and son. When God sent his son born of a woman, he instituted a once-and-for-all order of salvation in which the union of mother and child stands at the center. Her name becomes holy because of the name of her son, not apart from him, but because of her union with her son, not only in bearing him physically, but in her willingness, as she said, be it done unto me according to thy will, according to thy word, be it done unto me. It's that union that's the key piece. And so it is for us. To the degree that we're willing to put God's will first, God's will before our own, to that degree, God draws much closer to us. He can because we have given him, in a sense, permission. We've said, yes, I want your will. Even when it's hard, I do want your will because I know it's the best thing for me. Even if I can't see it or understand it right now, I know it. When we in faith are able to make that offering, as Mary did, be it done unto me, she said, according to your word, according to your will, be it done unto me. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to give us the grace to yield more deeply to the will of God, because that brings us into union with Christ, but it also opens the door to us to the family of God, in a special way to his mother. The first reading today is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. Brothers and sisters, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him, built upon him, and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let me read that again. This is what Paul tells the Colossians. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, that is, you received him in faith, you accepted him as your Messiah, then walk in him, rooted in him, built upon him, established in the faith. He is the beginning and the end. And he's everything in between. Your life and my life absolutely depends upon God. Why do we not draw closer? Why do we live as though he didn't exist? Have we gotten so caught up in the world's values that we only pay lip service to God and to his church? I really urge you to examine your own conscience on this. It's very, very important. See to it, says Paul, that no one captivate you with an empty, seductive philosophy according to the tradition of men, according to the elemental powers of the world, and not according to Christ. How many times do we accept the values of the world over the values of the gospel? Why? Because they entice us. They're seductive, but they're empty. Take a look at what rules your life. Take a look at what consumes your days. How much of it is of the world and how much of God? You can't just do a balancing act. How many times have I said that? You can't. You can't have a little of God and a little of the world. It will divide you. It will divide you and utterly, ultimately, destroy you. Don't allow the world to have a primary place. We are in the world, but not of the world. We're in the world to do what good we can do, but that's not our source. It's not our life. It's not our origin. It's not our destination. We're created for God. We're created for union with God. We're created for heaven. For in him, says St. Paul, dwells the whole fullness of the deity bodily, and you share in this fullness in him, who is the head of every principality and every power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not administered by hand, by stripping off the carnal body with the circumcision of Christ. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating, look at that word, obliterating the bond against us. Christ's death on the cross did that for you. Will you accept it? One day you will fully understand it's the greatest thing anyone could have ever done for you. Obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us, he also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. Despoiling the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, leading them away in triumph by it. God conquers all, brothers and sisters. Pay attention. Don't just drift through life. You will regret that. Pay attention. Look at who Christ is for you. Draw near to him, follow him, listen to his word. Take on his priorities, his values. Psalm 145, the Lord is compassionate toward all his works. That means he's compassionate toward us. If God is compassionate, why do you hesitate to come to him? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12. Now, I've commented on this before, but it still rings in my ears every time I come across this passage in whatever gospel. Look at these words. It says, when day came, second sentence, when day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12. That sounds like he called them. Come on, James. Come on, Luke. Come on, Matthew. Come on, come here. I want to tell you something. That's not what it means. It says he called his disciples to himself. In other words, he drew them close to him. He spent time with them. They grew in love for him and trust in him. He called them to himself. He called them to himself. That's not, he called them to meet us on Lake Street. This is calling them to himself. It's a very, very important verse. He spent time with them. He drew them in. He gained their trust. He loved them, and he was loved in return by them. Yes, they were fallible. Yes, they made mistakes. But Jesus was calling them into union with him like he's calling you today. That's why your daily prayer time is so important, because God calls each of us to himself. He calls us by name. He knows everything about us, and he loves us, but he wants you to know him, and he wants to know you in a certain level. Of course, he knows you through and through, better than you know yourself, but he wants time with you, that you may embrace him, that you may make him part of the very fabric of your life. From them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them. So after their time on the mountain, how long? I don't know, days? Probably. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him, because power came forth from him and healed them all. The closer we draw to Jesus, the time we give him each day, the way we build our life, our goals, our priorities with him, we are in a place to draw very close to him personally. But if we never pray, we might refer to God maybe once a week, then we're going to be on the outside, brothers and sisters. He invites us in. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Come to me. I will give you rest. Don't let your sin hold you back. Spend time reading scripture every day. Every day. You can carve out 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour. An hour is best, but whatever time you possibly can. Isn't it true, when we really want to do something, when we really would like to do something, we find the time? I pray for you. May God give you the grace to want to draw near to him, to desire it, and be willing to make whatever accommodations you need to make to give him time. He came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground, and a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Do you know how much God loves you? How much God wants to give you? How much he wants to do for you? But he's not like a dispensing machine. He's God. Draw near to him, give him time daily, that you may grow in love for him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.